Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
We are both reporting from our new homes, our new casas. Oh my gosh. You know what I hate is when white people, like what I just did, sometimes slip into Spanish.
No, that happened to me in public the other day, where there was a couple in a store I was in and they were wearing like vaguely matching outfits, and they were talking to the woman, like a woman who worked there. And I don't even know what it was in reference to, but this white woman with her matching outfit husband said, "Oh, you're good, chica."
No, no.
"Oh, you're good, chica." And I was like, is it actually 2024? Because I cannot believe that just happened. And it really upset me. And then also the husband said that he had watched Call Me By Your Name. And he was like, "I'm sorry, but it's just a bad movie." And I was like, this is the thing. Like, it really bothers me. It's fine if you don't like Call Me By Your Name. Like, that's fine. I don't like plenty of movies that people really like. But it's really not cool with me to just say something is bad. Now, if we had listeners to our podcast who actually listened, and it wasn't just me and Denise Malone liking every single one of our podcast Instagram posts, sure, then people would pull up. They would say, "Oh, Devin, here's an example of you saying something is bad," instead of just saying, "I don't like it." But I grow and change, and I do all the processes necessary to grow and change. So I do the best I can. But some people will just say, "This is bad." And it's like, it's not bad. You don't like it. And is you not liking it because of internalized homophobia? Maybe. But
maybe. You don't like sex with a peach? That's on you.
That's your problem.
Most people do.
Most people do like that. I know. It's like, I mean, that guy, it's like, to me, that sounded very vaguely familiar to all the people who were like, "Oh, I don't like Saltburn." Okay, so you're sexually repressed then. So you don't.
So you need therapy. You cannot like it, but you need therapy.
So whatever. So how did we get on this point?
I said, this is my casa, which, was offensive just because it sounded so lame. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I meant no harm by it. It's just that I sound stupid.
I know. And it's like stupidity, as a friend of the pod, Holly, once said, stupidity. I forget what exactly she said, but it was along the lines of like, there's a fine line between like stupidity and evil. Like, stupid can become evil really quickly.
Yeah. And so what we are saying is that I turned evil for a quick moment, and I am making amends publicly on a public platform.
I'm forgiving you, and I'm also seeking forgiveness from myself to myself, because I'm having a moment where all I can do is stare at my widow's peak and think I'm balding. And that's just where I'm at. And people aren't all an example of how things and people aren't all just one thing. Like, they're not all bad, they're not all good. My horrible worst ex-boyfriend that I always talk about with the towel story didn't speak to me because I spilled on a towel, whatever. You guys know. He did make a really funny joke once, which is when I was using Rogaine during the COVID pandemic because I was balding from stress. He called it Hogaine because it was women's Rogaine. And that was a really good joke. And I think about using Hogaine again sometimes, because all I can think about is like, what is this balding patch? Like,
that is such a good example of people not being one thing. Like, he was 99% evil, but he did have 1%
making a joke. Yeah.
Making a joke called Hogaine, which, you know, we appreciate. Yeah, it's so funny, like, when your family underestimates how mentally ill you are. For instance, my dad was in town and we oiled down a bench that was really dry wood. We oiled it with like wood oil and we used.
All right. Do you live in Los Angeles or the goddamn prairie?
I know. I was like, he thought it was fun. I just wanted to spend time with my dad. And so I ended up doing manual labor. And then he said, don't put all of these rags in a pile or they will burst into flames. And I had a friend whose house burnt down that way. So that is what I was thinking about for the next 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I asked repeatedly both my parents. By the way, I'm 33. Both my parents I checked in with about every hour or so and said, do you think that the house will burn down? I resented my dad for even wanting to oil down the wood if that was a possibility, if we put the rags on top of each other. I Googled, of course, what to do. And Google made me seem like an idiot because they were like, you obviously can't stack them on top of each other. You have to put them in an inflammable container and call like a specialist to pick them up. And I was just like, don't you guys know I can't deal with something like this?
Yeah,
don't, like, you know, I go to the worst case scenario without any prodding. Like, when I'm just thinking, I'll go to a worst case scenario. And what I mean by that is I'll think about, oh, maybe I'll walk somewhere and then I'll see a vicious car accident in my head. And that's just like the way I move around in this crazy world. So that was tricky for me, not gonna lie. And just a reminder that, you know, just like you taking Rogaine, which Hogaine. I don't think.
Don't you see these like spots?
No, I think that's a normal hairline. But we aren't going to get into, I'm not going to entertain your craziness.
That's a really good response to that. Because there, as I said, there's not a single right answer she can have to this. And I said, why did I set my friend up like this? And then you said, I'm not going to entertain that. And I thought that's actually the one right response.
Yeah.
Not that there is right versus wrong. And we don't believe in that. Now, let me say something, though, that's also an example of this.
Gun.
I have decided to. Okay, so I watched The Zone of Interest. Have you seen?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
It was so. Oh, I guess I can't say bad or good. I loved it as well. I believed it to be brilliant, but
me too.
I also was sent to such. Again, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I'm actually struggling so badly with depression that I'm seeking treatments I never thought I would.
Yeah.
And yet I choose
have chosen that.
What did I choose? Quiet on Set and then The Zone of Interest. So then I'm like,
we couldn't live in an age with more options of what to watch too.
I know. And I was like, well, also I saw Zone of Interest on Amazon Prime and I Googled like, when is this coming to streaming? And it was literally the next day. It was like on April 5th, it will be available to stream. I said, nope, I'm going to rent it. I have to see it right this second. I need to see this right now. And I was really glad I did. But then I was back on the Amazon homepage. I'm like, okay, what will bring me joy? I decided to spend $21.99 to purchase the entire season of The Bachelor that starred Rachel and Gabby with Clayton, aka Clayton season, but it was really Rachel and Gabby season. And I can't recommend anything enough. It's such a good season. There's so much drama. There's Shanae, who we talked about on Bachelor in Paradise, but we didn't have the background story.
Right.
Of like how truly she came onto the game like a sociopath. She said, I'm going to lie about all of these girls until they get voted off. And she got multiple people voted off by just making up stories about them.
Incredible.
She was like, Elizabeth is a liar because she said that she wasn't in the hot tub and she actually was in the hot tub. And Elizabeth's like, I wasn't in the hot tub. And she's like, no, you were, and you're a pathological liar. You were in the hot tub.
Shanae is the blonde one, right?
Yeah. And she's like, this is Shanae Nay. She also does a challenge with Z-Way, and Z-Way is like truly like blown away. Like Z-Way is like her face alight with joy because she's like, I can't believe how amazing this girl is, Shanae, who's like saying, I'm Shanae Nay and whatever. Okay. So the thing I'll say about that, right versus wrong, is...
We're waiting for her response. There's not a problem with your audio.
Okay, sorry. I want to finish it. I'm on the finale. I want to finish it. But it's like, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking Clayton is doing things. Clayton is wronging people, but I don't think he's intending it. And I think he's doing the best he can. And
that's called grace, people.
And that's called
Christianity. That's called love thy neighbor, love thy enemy. That's called phrases stitched on pillows. That's called phrases on your tea bags.
Speaking on the topic of people who are doing the best they can, I don't know that I can say that for most people that are the population of the Valley, because...
Okay, this show... I actually don't know if I've ever seen something so Bravo. It's like Bravo on ketamine.
I will say, I think it's Bravo on cocaine, because my friend went to... So my friend texts me, oh, I'm at the Valley viewing party at Jax's bar. I'm like, okay, now these are moments where I think, why did I ever leave the town of Hollywood? Why did I ever leave Los Angeles, California, when there's a viewing party at Jax's bar of the Valley? And she's like, Jax is on coke. Jax seems like he's on coke. He went in the bathroom. He was totally normal and fine. And then he went in the bathroom and came back. Wait, did you tell me this or did someone else?
Someone else.
Okay. So for a second, I'm like, wait, I'm talking about my friend. Maybe it's Carolina. So my friend was at the viewing party, went in. Jax is being normal, like posing for photos with them. Then he goes in the bathroom. Then he comes out and starts screaming how Bravo is scripted. Vanderpump Rules is scripted. The Valley is scripted. All this stuff. And I said, why the hell would he ever do that to us? Like, I don't want to know if it's scripted. Shut the hell up. Also, I'm like, I don't really believe it is. Like, why would they script something so bad? Like, they didn't even do a good job of scripting it. Like, I feel like in the moment they were really acting on the fly, because the only thing that seemed scripted was when Jesse was like, had that really good line to Kristen of like, well, you got fired for being racist.
I don't even think that was scripted, because I don't think Bravo wants to call attention to the fact that they rehired someone who had a racist incident.
Yes.
I think Jesse is just like here.
He's really like time.
A gift, because I love seeing a bad marriage. And I want to say something. Speaking of Jesse, we saw an actually good couples counselor. When the couples counselor met with Michelle and Jesse,
actually, he calls himself a coach. Yes. And so my expectations were even lower.
Yeah, we were a life coach in Los Angeles where our expectations are on the floor. He comes in and he is actually asking, you know, about, do you guys compliment each other? And at one point, Jesse is like, well, what if I'm, you know, nice to her, like, and I don't get what I want in return? And he's like, well, it's not for whatever you get. You're supposed to be nice to her because you want to be. And don't get defensive. He was just like very, I was like, oh, I would have actually met with this counselor had I ever been what I thought was old enough for couples therapy. But you went to couples therapy, right?
Oh, I've been in couples therapy many times. And the first time I went, I was, I believe, 25 years old. And my mom
that
said,
is so wild.
My mom said, you're so young. Why are you in a relationship where you need couples counseling already and you're not even married? And I said, I love him. You don't understand. I love him. And the things that were said in this couples therapy, I won't repeat, but I will say that I had the distinct feeling that the therapist was on my side.
Yeah, I would say I'm not a scientist. I'm not an anthropologist, but I would say the therapist must be on the woman's side at least 80% of the time.
Well, I did have a therapist for in a different relationship who wasn't on my side. And I chose to believe that she was anti-woman, misogynist. I said, oh, so you're misogynist. Okay.
Oh, so you're, that's cool that you're a misogynist. That's awesome, actually.
That's actually really amazing. I love that.
You're awesome.
You're awesome. I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Yeah, Jax doing cocaine is probably, I'll be honest, my friend said she had gossip on Vanderpump Rules. When I say I was waiting with bated breath.
Yes.
I've cared less about getting jobs. Like I've cared less about like getting a paycheck.
Right.
I was like, I need to know. This is my favorite television show. And I say that without any irony. Vanderpump Rules is my favorite television show that's ever aired. I was just thinking about watching the Raquel Sandoval season over again because it's just unlike any TV I've ever seen.
I've been doing that. And it's been
I watched
a great
it twice
journey.
And it was great. So cut to me waiting by the phone like I'm friggin' in love all over again. Can you imagine? And she says, Jax has a bad coke problem. Can you give me something unexpected?
It's like saying paint takes a long time to dry.
I'm like, yes, of course. Jax is probably an alcoholic and a coke addict. Yes, it's like saying he has a tribal tattoo somewhere. I'm like, that's like saying he has multiple STDs. I'm like, yeah, I can totally assume that. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
But that's fine. That's fine. I mean, you should see how deep I go on Reddit about the cast of Vanderpump Rules.
I love Reddit. I really do.
I just like I found Tumblr 10 years too late. I found Reddit like just last month. And what I mean by that is I finally learned how to use like the interface.
Well, I have signed up for notifications about I actually, wait, what was it when I looked up? I'm sorry to pull something up. I know that's annoying, but I went to Reddit because I wanted to join the PMDD community.
Sure.
And I saw my searches were, well, now it says PMDD, Reality Von Teese, Salt Lake City, Episode 16, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that all aligns, actually. You can't be the only one with those, that history.
So that is really where we're at. And no, but anyway, so this episode of The Valley, I also, I'm sorry to talk about like people's appearances, especially a woman, but I do have to in this case, because there are times when someone's like mental illness starts to show in their appearance. And I'm speaking from experience. Like, it's like when I look back at pictures of me in college, I think that person looks sick and that person looks almost possessed by some sort of demon. And something was clearly wrong with that person upon first viewing. And sure. That's how I feel when I look at Kristen, is like something's just, I don't know. She's a beautiful woman, but something is just wrong. Something is wrong.
So I think she's the rawest in terms of like reality stars right now. What she said about Michelle, it's not a huge jump. So basically, Michelle told Janet, this is the crazy part to me, that she believes in the don't say gay laws because she thinks they protect children. So like automatically, can you imagine like being at lunch when someone casually says that to you? Like, I would get up and leave. You've gotten up and left dates over less.
Over less. Like over much less.
If someone said that, I would literally be like, I don't feel safe being in the same place as you. Like, I think you have an evil bone to you. I don't want to know where this is from. I just want to get away from you.
And by the way, why are you living in West Hollywood?
By the Chateau Marmont, which you've only told us two times.
In two episodes.
In two separate episodes. So that somehow evolves into she's a Republican. Not like, again, not a huge jump. And she's racist. To all my Republican listeners, it's not a huge skip and a jump from Republican to racist these days.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so I think Republican who supports don't say gay to racist is not a huge jump.
It's really close. So Kristen, and even Kristen says, she's like, everyone changes once they're on camera. This is all the stuff that happens off camera. Now we're on camera and everyone decides to act all clean and nice. And I will say Michelle does the most Republican thing where when she's talking to her husband about it, she's like, I'm not racist. I'm literally like Mexican and
Persian.
Persian. And I'm not a Republican. And even if I was, who cares? You're like, girlfriend. And you know her husband's a Republican. Like, you just know that he is, because he's a misogynist. He's a total misogynist. And like, he does such a Bravo husband thing of yelling, you know, purportedly in her defense. It's very Big Dick Aaron from Denise Richards.
It is.
Yelling in her defense and then silencing her when she tries to talk.
Yes. Well, wait, I'm trying to think too, the sequence of events. So.
But Janet is like defending Michelle. She's like, I can't believe Kristen said that. I wouldn't be friends with you if I thought you were racist. And I'm like, you're friends with her. She thinks that don't say gay laws protect children. Like, right. And you're friends with her.
And you're friends with her. And you're about to have a child. Yeah.
You're
and
crazy.
My favorite though, speaking of like Kristen being visibly mentally ill, when Kristen like goes to, by the way, sorry, side note, Jesse and that's his name, right? I'm always like, what the fuck is his name? Because it's so similar to Jax and Justin. And
we're getting to know these people. They'll be Jerry, family soon.
Yeah, who are they? But Jesse and Michelle are putting on a Capri-themed
evil. One of my favorite parts is when he kisses. He's like, this is a sophisticated party. And she says, stop saying it's a sophisticated party.
I know. It's like that thing where you're like, I know that as someone who's dated a total douchebag, I recognize like the experience of a woman who's like, okay, I know everyone knows my husband's a douchebag. And what he's saying right now is making him seem like more of a douchebag. And I have to step in and like try to like stop this. But I actually loved when Jax and Brittany were like laughing about it. And Jax said, the only Capri I know is Capri Sun. I was like, all right, this is like more endearing than being like, I'm having sophisticated, I have 15 bottles of the finest Prosecco for my sophisticated Capri party. So
I think it's interesting. Like women are written as like these, or wives are written sometimes, and I'm talking about in narrative stuff, as if they're bougie or as if they want the finer things in life. But I've always dated guys who are like that.
Yeah.
Or not always. I don't want to speak for all my, I've had great ex-boyfriends, but I've dated some guys who like, I don't know. I've never been like that, I don't think. And I've dated guys who are obsessed with like the finer things in life. And so I recognize that in Jesse, where he wants like to pose as, I mean, why else would he say that he only lives in West Hollywood? Cause it's behind the Chateau Marmont. You're like, great. You're like a star fucker. Congratulations.
Right. Aren't you supposed to be an adult who has a child and like raising a human being? That's actually really scary. Them raising a child is scary.
It's terrifying. They say fuck in front of their child, like every other word.
I know.
And then I'm like, I don't think this is funny. And she says to her dad at one point, calm down. And I'm like, that's not normal. She's too young to think like that.
I'm scared. Okay, let's not go to the dark places. Let's stay on the light. Okay.
I always think of how you're like, let's not think about M changing schools for J-Lo and Ben's new relationship. J-Lo's kid.
We can't. Like, no, we can't go there.
We're happy for the love story. We can't think about the kids changing schools.
No, we can't. And so let's just think about Capri. Let's just go to Capri, where Kristen shows up and goes up to Michelle. She knows Michelle knows what happened. And she's like, hi, I love you.
This is someone who just called her racist.
She's like, hi, I love you. I just wanted to say, like, maybe I can talk to you later. And I just want to say, okay, love you. And I was like, this is so crazy. And Michelle's really uncomfortable. Then the whole story comes out, and I have to say the thing that was noticeable to me in the revelation of Kristen, like there's footage of Kristen. Okay, so what's the gay guy's name again? Zach, right?
Matt. You're right.
Okay.
No, so Zach.
Kristen says that Zach is the one who told her that Janet told him that Michelle is racist and Republican. And then Kristen says Zach told her, and he's like, I didn't say that. I never said that. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. Then they have footage of Kristen mentioning the Republican thing to Zach. And he's like, he kind of like doesn't say anything, but it's like insinuated like, oh, he knows what she's talking about. The thing that was the most jarring to me in this video footage revelation is Zach's hair is a wig.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right.
It looks like a helmet. There's no, talk about hairline. There's no, maybe I'm super sensitive to hairlines right now, but there's no hairline there. It's just like a helmet. Like if
he's
that's
the
real,
only one I believe to be like an actor who has scripted lines, because I swear he's like, he's
in costume acting, in a wig.
He's cosplaying as like the gay friend, like in a way that I've never seen before. Like he's like, I never said that.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. And you're, he's like, just like doing like really exaggerated, like,
yeah.
Oh, whoa, spit take.
But I love it. I love every second of it. And I believe that he is needed on this show. And I can't believe that we got him from Britney's World. But here we go.
Britney's World, the amusement park where it's Meemaw's beer cheese and goats.
I want to say something about Britney. I truly believe her to be a good person.
I love her.
I really can't believe she ended up with Jax Taylor, but I truly believe her to be like a sincere, thoughtful person. Every Vanderpump Rules castmate is like, she's my best friend. And I'm like, no, she's just like the only nice person you've ever met.
Yes. They treat her like Mother Teresa because they don't know kind people. Like, I do think it, I remember thinking it was a little overboard, like how much when Britney came on the show, they were like, she is the nicest, most pure individual alive. And it's like, I just don't think they know nice people, but she is truly very nice. And when she was on Watch What Happens Live, she looked fucking stunning as hell. And I was like, I'm so glad you're not with him. And she also was nice about him. She was like, okay, well, I was had enough. I was fed up and I don't want to get back together with him, but he's a great father and we co-parent. I'm like, okay.
Very kind, given
and he's, like, he's high on coke at Jax's talking about everything scripted. Okay.
It's so funny that like the high on coke part doesn't bother me as much as him insinuating that Bravo is fake.
I know. It also freaks me out because I'm like, you're going to get fired again. And like, you need to support Cruz.
Yeah, you need to support me. How about like, yeah. Yes, to the Cruz, but also to like me looking forward to some days in the week. Like, yes. I have a life, you know, that I need to believe is worth living. And like the Valley
that's
is
so true.
A pillar for me.
The Valley is a pillar that stands in between us having the human experience and us realizing the mortality of the human experience. And philosophers have been writing about that, that fine line, that boundary for years. If you cross past just living your life into realizing how short it is, like there's no going back. So we need protection.
We need protection. And my other pillar in a two-pillar mansion is Vanderpump Rules. And that thing is crumbling like a pillar of salt. Like I'm barely holding on. I want true
romance. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
I will say after Vanderpump this week, I am on Ariana's side.
Of course, and I'm so mad at Lala, and I can't believe she's brought me here.
I do think that they're like all jealous of her, and they're just like jealous that her life is like good, but I totally stand with Ariana when she says, why would you think I would have a good beach day with my ex-boyfriend who cheated on me with my best friend after 9 years together or whatever. Like, I am like, wait, this is actually crazy. Like, I fell into the manipulation of, like, the screen when they were like, oh, Ariana just needs to forgive him. I'm like, yeah, she kind of does. And then I, like, realized what I was thinking. And I was like, no, wait, she actually doesn't. But I will say, like, if she's going to stay on the show, she does have to film with him. But I'm fine with her filming with him in the way she does, which is, like, screaming at him. Like, I'm fine with that. Great. Scream at him.
I'm done with Lala right now. I just need her to pull her act together. And I'm done with Brock more than anyone. I just think he's such a tool. He just wants to be on camera and, like, and nothing. That's so transparent to me. Like, he's like, have you tried talking to Ariana, to Sandoval? It's like, dude, what are you talking about? He called Raquel, I believe, the C word on Instagram and then quickly deleted the comment. But it's like, what is wrong with you? I don't know. I just find him to be, and you're like, yeah, someone was like, he was saying that Ariana shouldn't have been yelling at Tom Sandoval. And yet he is someone who has had a domestic violence dispute before. So you're going to talk about a woman yelling? Like, give me a fucking break with this guy. But I do sympathize with the rest of the cast members who are like, we cannot simply, you know, like, we do not have job experience besides this. We need to make sure this show stays going. Like, I have a mortgage now for a, you know, modern farmhouse in the valley. I would be scared if I were them to see that, like, oh, my God, what if Ariana makes so much money that she quits? Or what if, you know,
I was a little saddened to hear, like, that house was Ariana's dream house. I was like, that thing. But, you know, moving on from one house to another, one casa to another, as Caroline
as I
would
like
say,
to say.
We do have to talk about Summer House. And I will say, I went down a deep dive today thinking, I want to know more about Hannah Burner and Des Bishop's relationship. Like, I think that's really weird. Like, they got married so fast. He's like a comedy seller, like, comedian, but she's like more famous than him in a way. And I just am curious about their dynamic. And most of all, I'm curious what Paige thinks of their dynamic. And I'm sad that I don't know that.
I'm sad that she's not on the show. I think she would be a great addition, even though what happened between her and Amanda Bachula?
Kyle and Hannah Burner got in a lot of arguments in the house. So I think maybe that is what the problem was.
Got it.
And I think Amanda was protective over Hannah with the Luke situation. And Hannah was like, well, what about you and Kyle? And then it was like, oh, shit, you shouldn't have said that.
You don't say what everyone else is thinking. This was one of those episodes where you really saw again. It was last week's episode was kind of boring, except for the end when you're like this. They are going to. It was the first time I was like, oh, they're going to split up. Right.
Yeah.
Like, she wants to leave the city and move to the suburbs. I completely understand that. He wants to stay in the city in a really tiny apartment. I think that she is like leaning in to have kids. He just wants to sell Lover Boy limoncello flavor. I also think she really doesn't like him. As you pointed out, there's a line where he says to her at a party, come hang out with me. And she says, okay, but be different.
She says, okay, but be different. And then she tells him to get changed because she can see his, quote, little peepee head through his pants. And there was just like such a disgust. I said to Carolina, I was like, she acts like a mother in the 1950s who like had to have kids but didn't want to. And she's like really bitter that her life has been wasted. And then Kyle is her son. Like, that's how she treats him. It's like, I wish I never had to have you, but I do. So go be different and get changed because I don't even want to look at the sight of you. Like, that's how she acts. And I will say, like, on the one hand, I feel for Kyle because she's so mean to him and clearly hates him. And I kind of agree with him that they're not really ready to have kids because they hate each other. On the other hand, I agree with Paige, where Paige is saying, who is he to say you're not ready to have kids when he stays out till 4 a.m. on a weekday, which in no way would be acceptable to me in a marriage, especially if I had plans to have kids with someone. So it's really, there's no good on either side. And yet then I follow her on Instagram and they're still together post. And I'm like, I kind of think they'll just be together in this like hate each other dynamic forever.
For business. Yeah. Speaking of which, Carl and Lindsay, we see brief moments of them having fun together, but
brief.
And there was a nice preview for this for next week's episode where someone says, rate your sex life. And she goes to herself 2.5, but loud enough for everyone to hear. And then she says, we had sex today. Nobody came. And you're like, talk about a 50s housewife and her son.
And that is a real dark.
You're getting married to this person?
I know.
And you talk about how he never initiated sex.
You know, it's having been there in like a relationship where the sex life is not even 2.5, not naming names. It's so dark to look back on being okay with that, because it's like there's just no like. It's one thing if you're fighting all the time and get to have like amazing makeup sex, then it's like,
that's
okay,
hard to leave.
At least I understand why you're like still here. But when you're fighting all the time and then just going to bed like and saying, are you sleepy, Joe? I was like, that even that is dark to me. Like him coming in the room, right, and she's like super tired and he's like, are you sleepy, Joe? I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, I've been in relationships where we fight all the time, but the sex is so good that I'm like, I don't know where to go from here. And I've also, you know, in my younger years, been in relationships with absolute horrible people who didn't feel like having sex, even though we were 19 years old. Oh, and
that is horrible.
It's horrible. And just to speak for myself, like I internalize that, of course, as my problem. Oh, like, yes. I'm not sexually attractive enough. Instead of like, no, at this age, you should be sexually attracted to a wall. Like,
yes. Yes.
And
if you're not, that's fine. But like, maybe get that looked at and don't make another person feel like it's their fault.
And be very open about it. Like my boyfriend at the time only told me like a year into our relationship. He was like, okay, well, like actually I had an ex-girlfriend who would cry about this too. And I wanted to be like, why would you wait to tell me that? Like, yes. Why would you wait to be like, that's actually my problem?
Right. Why would you make someone fucking think it's theirs? I get so angry at this kind of stuff.
It's pretty depressing. I mean, mainly because of the waste of time.
But with like with Carl and Lindsay, it's interestingly parallel to Jesse and Michelle, where it's like this dynamic of like, well, when you hate each other, it's really hard to be turned on. Like they were saying they haven't had sex in like 3 years or whatever. And it's like, yeah, because you don't compliment me. You don't make any effort to be nice to me. Like, why would I think that's kind of the dynamic Carl and Lindsay seem to be in. And side note, let us not forget the main drama of the episode, which was that Carl asked Kyle who. So Carl was officiated so and was the best man in Kyle's wedding.
Kyle and Amanda's wedding.
Carl asks Kyle to be a flower boy.
Not funny. A. Insulting. B. Can you imagine?
No.
If I let you officiate my wedding and then you said to me, you'll be the flower girl. Actually, I'm saying it. I'm like, yeah, I'll take any role. I love being a center of attention for even 5 seconds.
Also, yeah, it would be like kind of funny. But it's like it's because of the setup of like the fact that Carl had such a major role in theirs. And also, let me say this. It was such a cowardly move of Carl to just blame it on Lindsay. Like he's like, well, Lindsay didn't want Kyle to be a groomsman, so I had to ask him to do this. It's like, well, that's where you stand up and say, this is my closest friend and I would like them to be in my wedding party, and if you're not okay with that, like there's a bigger issue.
He did basically call her a bitch the summer before, though, Kyle to Lindsay. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lindsay's crazy.
No, I'm saying Carl is wrong for not speaking up what he wanted and instead then acting like he was the victim and saying like, well, Lindsay didn't want that, so I just had to do what Lindsay said. It's like, no, you actually could have spoken up. So, yeah.
It's so interesting how much I think. It's so interesting how I think they're drawn together because of their story. Like Paige pointed this out where she was like, I think it's like we were friends for forever. Now we're in love. Like, I think that they were, and I can only imagine part of it is like, and we're on TV together. And I think that must be some of it because they really are ill suited for each other.
Yeah.
Not just because of the basic fact that she is an active alcoholic and he's sober.
By the way, I did notice on Instagram stories that Kyle and Amanda and Lindsay are at the same wedding this weekend, but they haven't posted a single photo together.
Classic.
So.
Classic. Wow, I really need more friends because I do not get invited to weddings.
Oh.
And I would love to officiate a wedding. Will you invite me to your wedding?
I would love to officiate. Yeah, of course. You can be my flower girl.
I'll take it.
I'm going to officiate your wedding and then ask you to be my flower girl.
Oh. Okay, fair.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I can't wait for next week's episode of all of my Bravo shows.
Same.
And I love you.
Love you, Carol.
Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.